Have your Bibles, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to continue in that study. 1 Peter chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, there's usually some up in the on the railings on the side of the building. I encourage you to access those. But but we're in 1 Peter chapter 1, and last week we kind of read through a section of scripture. We got halfway through it, and we were talking about the fact that we've been purchased, bought by God. We've been redeemed. He redeemed us and bought us back. He paid the price that was owed, that was required, that was requested. I'm not sure how to say that. But he paid the price and redeemed us to give us back our worth, to give us back our value. He cleaned us up, just like those old soda bottles I tell you about. He scrubbed us out, cleaned us up, filled us back up, and put us back, you know, put the lid back on, and stuck us back up on the shelf, and gave our life purpose again. You know, don't go too far with that analogy, okay? But it's a it's a nice way to look at it. The fact that he chooses to do that. And one of the descriptions there was that Christ was a lamb without blemish or defect. And we talked last week how Christ was in essence referring back, or Peter was referring back and tying Christ into the Passover lamb, the sacrificial lamb that was slaughtered. His blood was then displayed upon the doorposts around the homes so that the angel of death passed over the homes of the Israelites when they were enslaved in Egypt. And even then, that was an indication of God's work. And we're going to talk about that today, okay, a little bit more. Let's pray before we get started. Father, I thank you for your word, which instructs us. And Father, helps us to see the forethought, the fact, Father, that Christ wasn't an afterthought, that Christ didn't come into being just kind of as a plan B or anything else, that the redemption and purchase of each of our lives was something that you had mapped out and determined from the beginning of time. Thank you, God. Thank you for the work of Christ in our lives. And thank you for the hope that you provide because of that knowledge. I pray, God, today that we might focus upon the hope that you give to us now. In Christ's name, amen. So Peter continues on as he's talked about this lamb, and he's related us back to the Passover that was instituted while the Israelites were in slavery. In verse 20, Peter goes on. He says, he was chosen, referring back to Christ, okay? Referring to Christ, the sacrifice, the fact that, you know, he was that, his precious blood was shed. He says, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Peter says there that Christ was chosen, okay? In the NIV, it says before the creation of the world. In many other translations, refers back, it says before the foundation of the world. In the NASB, it says that he foreknew that Christ would be the one that was chosen to do this. And it kind of makes me stop and think about this whole scenario. Have you ever set out on a destination, on a journey, and not been really sure about the way you were going? Have you ever gotten on a road and you kind of said, well, I think this is the right road. You know, I think I'm in the right spot, you know, and you're kind of scratching your head and you're wondering. I'll tell you, I took a trip, well, some 35 years ago, something like that, and it was from Vegas, basically down to Kingman, okay, and on the what's the now the 93. back at that time, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be, okay, I'm mistaken about a lot of things. The memory's not what it used to be, but if I'm not mistaken, excuse me, at that time, that was a little two-lane road, okay? And I remember going over the dam. It was back in the day. It was before the bridge was there, and you had to drive over the dam. I mean, actually on top of the dam, and you got to look over and see all the water, and it was a pretty spectacular sight, you know? But I remember driving that, and it was my first time by myself. Now, I'd been this way before. I'd been on that trek, on that road before. But I was a kid on a bus that we were heading to camp, okay? I'd never driven that road myself. And I think my parents had taken that road before too. So I knew that there was a road there, but I wasn't really sure that much about it. I hadn't really looked into it, and this is before the days of Google, okay? This is before the days of GPS and everything else, okay? All that stuff wasn't there yet. And I got in my car, and I had my kids with me, my wife, and started heading this way and decided, you know, my parents, I lived in California. My parents lived in Prescott Valley, okay? And we'd frequently make trips there different times of the year. And so for whatever reason, normally we drove on 40. We'd take 40 across, and that was an easy trip and everything else, okay? And I don't know if this is the reason why I still take 40 now whenever I'm traveling there or not. I don't know, but what I remember is I decided we'd go through Vegas. We wanted to see the Hoover Dam, and so we decided to stop in and go over this. And so we got finished our visit at the Hoover Dam, came across the dam, and started heading towards Kingman, all right? And I'm getting on this road, and this is this little two-lane road. No cell phones, folks. Okay. No GPS. Nobody. And I'm driving along, and I'm looking, and there is nothing. You think there's nothing here now? There was nothing there. And I'm driving along, and I'm thinking, where am I going? I hope I don't break down. You know, all those thoughts were going through my mind. And I thought, what was the difference? It was because I had never been on that road by myself, from my knowledge. I had a little vague knowledge of it, but I hadn't been on that road before. And I was scared, and I was shaky, you know, and I didn't know what was coming. And that kind of just rivets something into me. You ever been in that situation? You ever been on a journey, you're not quite sure of that destination, not sure where it's going to go? You know, I think we all start feeling a little bit uneasy whenever we don't know what the outcome's going to be, whenever we don't know the end of the journey. You know, there are people here today, and I'm not necessarily picking on anyone in particular, but there are people here today that are facing crises in their lives, okay? They're facing situations. In families within our church and individuals that are looking at medical issues that they have to address. They've come up with new diagnoses or instances, and they're saying, okay, what's this road I've got to go down? What's this journey I've got to take? And it gets scary, okay? There are people, families maybe a parent with a child has an issue, and they don't know what they need to do to take care of that child. Maybe you're here and you have a parent, maybe that you're struggling with issues related to your parents. Again, it's a path you've never walked, a journey you've never taken. You know others have taken it. You know maybe it goes someplace. It's got to be a road because it's paved, okay? You know you're going somewhere, but you don't know what's going to happen on that road. And all of us are at some stage in our life where where we're traveling unknown roads, right? We all sense that. When I read this, I started thinking about those issues. I read here, he was chosen, or in the other translation, he was foreknown. You know what that says to me? And I like also, just so you know, it says he was chosen before the creation of the earth, or before the foundation of the world in some translations. I like that imagery, okay? Before anything was ever set in motion, before God even started putting the bricks down and building the earth and building the solar system and calling out the stars and opening up the universe, God had already planned this instant right here. Now, I don't want to get into the issue of sovereignty of God versus free will of man. That's not my point. But I'm trying to point out that oftentimes we sit here and we go down here. God goes on, he says, but was revealed in these last times. So the point is from the time of the creation of the world, the foundation of the world, it was unknown. It was a road that nobody had traveled before. Here, we live in a different period. It's revealed to us. We know what's happened with Christ. We know that he died upon that cross. We know he was God's son, that he was sent, and we have that assurance. We rest in that assurance. We've been on the road, and we've traveled it. We're familiar with it. We're comfortable with that, okay? All right, but up until this time, it wasn't revealed. And I thought about that in our lives. How many of us are in that journey now, and it's not revealed where the end of the journey is? We don't know what obstacles we're going to hit. I'm driving along. I hope I come to a gas station. Oh, I hope I don't have a flat tire. Oh, I hope my car doesn't break down. Oh, and how many times do we go through life in the same way? Wondering if we're going to hit the obstacles, wondering what we're going to encounter upon the road, whether we can trust God to see us through. God foreknew. I find it interesting that so oftentimes we want to plan for God. We're unwilling to step back and say, God, you've arranged this. You've already been here. That's what David was saying back in Psalm 139 whenever he talked about God. He says, where can I go? Where can I flee from your presence? I can't go here. You've already been there. I can't go there. You've already been there. God, if I take all the wings of the morning, dwell in the othermost parts of the sea, even there your hand guides me. And so oftentimes we're sitting here in our life struggles and we're saying, God, I'm afraid. I don't know what comes next. I don't know that I can trust you. And God, how do I know? How do I know about salvation? Because he was foreknown from the beginning of time. God had a plan. That plan included you and me, guys. That plan, he says here, he's talking in the plural. Whenever he uses that pronoun, if we were down south, he would have been saying y'all, okay? But he's not, okay? So it's just you, but it's a plural you. In other words, every one of us in this room are included in this, that he says, from the beginning of time, I had a plan in order to bring Christ into your life and bring salvation to you, to every one of you. I want you there in my heaven. I want you to be with you. I want to have that fellowship with you. I have designed it from the beginning of time. So he knew ahead of time, and I've talked to you guys before, that from the time that Adam sinned, God had initiated a promise and issued a promise. You okay, Jeff? Do we need to help you? Do we need to help you? Can I get somebody to help Jeff right now? Okay. Chest pain?
Yeah.
Can we get someone to call 911?
No, I think my
okay. Now, why don't you go check with him? Okay. Don't do it unless he asks you, he says to. Sorry, guys, for the interruption. It's part of that journey. It's part of the road that we don't know about. We don't know. But God has promised from the beginning of time that he would restore our relationship with him. He promised it in the garden. Adam and Eve sinned. He says, all right, guys. He says, this didn't catch me off guard. I already knew about this, and I've got a plan. From the beginning of time, he foreknew this. It was important. What that says to me, it's important to him to have this relationship with you, with me. It's important to him. He wants this relationship, and he planned it out from the beginning of the trip. He knew the way. He knew the path. And we can trust in him. Isn't that an exciting thought? Guys, I don't know about you. I start thinking these things, and it just gives me warm goosebumps all over. I just kind of get excited. God, this is an awesome thing that you're doing. You're revealed. And he goes on, and he says, so this was revealed in the last times for your sake. And I want you guys to realize this. So oftentimes, we wonder about the last times that are still ahead of us, okay? The last times that we think about the second coming. We worry about the last times in our own lives. We worry about what's going to come tomorrow. And I just want to tell you that the God who planned the coming of Jesus Christ, he knew this from the beginning of time, and he now, even now, continues to guide the path. He continues to walk with us on this course. He's not going to abandon us. He's not going to leave us alone. We don't need to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow because he's already been there, okay? And he goes on. Yeah, good. Thanks. He goes on. He says, through him, you believe in God. Through who? Through Jesus Christ. You believe in God who raised him from the dead. And you see, this is the thing. We've started studying the resurrection today, okay, about the proof of the resurrection. Now, there's lots of reasons to believe in the resurrection, and we're going to be looking at those in Sunday school over the next few weeks. But the idea, it was stated that the resurrection is the proof of who Jesus Christ is. And it's the resurrection that is the foundation of our Christian faith. It's the resurrection that distinguishes Christianity from every other religion. You look and you go to the tombs, you go to the graves, you find the people who founded these other religions, and they're still there. Okay? Their bodies are still there. The remains are still there. But you go to the Christian tomb and it's empty. The tomb of Christ is empty. We serve a risen Lord. And it's because of that resurrection that we have the hope that we do. That's what he goes on and he says, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so your faith and hope are in God. Now, one of the reasons that we need to understand that Christ came is in Hebrews chapter 4. If you look over in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14, 15, I'll get there. He says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. One of the things he's pointing out here is that God foreknew Jesus Christ. Peter wants us to understand that. It was planned that Christ came in his role as the Savior. He served as the high priest. He came in to stand, to serve as mediator between us and God, so that faith relationship could be established between us and God. Christ was not somebody who didn't experience the life that you and I struggle with. He faced all of the same uncertainties. He faced the same temptations. He faced the same issues of choosing to follow God, the Father, or exercising his own will. That's what the temptations of Satan were all about. But Christ chose to serve God. Whereas we so often fail in that, we get wrapped up in our own fears, we get wrapped up in our own identities, we get wrapped up in our own desires, and we choose the wrong thing. But Christ suffered those, yet he came in, he stood between us and God because he served as Christ in this world, and he served as the priest between us and God. So now we have a mediator that can speak to God on our behalf. He is that source of faith, that channel of faith that we are to have. He says, through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead. He was human, he died, and now he has been raised. And God raised him from the dead and glorified him, put him in heaven. He's now there in heaven interceding for you and me. So your faith and hope are in God, is what Peter says. So your faith and hope are in God. You know, that lack of hope is a scary thing. I was reading, I read a lot of different things, and sometimes I scratch my head, and I have to tell you honestly, I'm not sure about some of the things that I read and whether, they're legitimate. Like, for example, I was reading about this issue of hope, and one of the things they said was that there were some scientists that decided they wanted to check on this issue of hope and how it impacts our life. And so what they chose to do, and they wanted to see how long a rat could swim. So they took a rat and they put it in some water, but they removed any hope of rescue, any hope of escape. Now I'm scratching my head. I'm going, well, how do you tell a rat you can't get out of its problem? I'm thinking, how did they demonstrate this? Because they removed any hope of rescue. Anyway, that rat, they said, died very quickly. A couple minutes, survived, and kind of just gave up. And when it had no hope of being rescued, no hope of being saved, no hope of escape, okay? When they put another rat in there, but this time they gave it a way out, the possibility of a way out. And again, I'm scratching my head, how do you communicate that? This story didn't go into that detail. But they said that rat was able to tread water and swim around for a couple hours before it gave up, before it finally succumbed. And I'm thinking, golly, the difference is one had no hope and quickly passed away, and the other had hope. Hope makes a difference. They say that in hell, there is no hope. And that differentiates it. But in Christ, we have that hope. We have that hope of a relationship with God. We have that hope of being of the resurrection. That's even what we talked about today. Remember the encounter that Mary and Martha had as their brother Lazarus was dying. In John chapter 11, Lazarus had gotten sick. He was dying. Mary and Martha sent word, and Jesus said, nope, we're not going to go yet. And he waited two more days. And then he says, okay, now it's time. And they finally got there to Bethany where Lazarus was, found that he had passed away. And Martha comes running up and says, oh, Jesus, if only you had been there. That was our lesson today, okay, in Sunday school. If only you had been there. If only you had come, you could have prevented this. And see, well, oftentimes we're trying to dictate to God how we want the circumstances to go. And then he met Mary, and Mary said the same thing, if only you'd been there. But Jesus responded to Martha by saying this. Mary says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. And the only way that people could know the hope of the resurrection was when Lazarus had died. If Lazarus had not died and had not been placed in that grave, in that tomb, then Jesus could never have shown them his power over death. Jesus could never have revealed himself to them as the resurrection. Lazarus had been in the grave. He had been there for several days. They said he stunk. He's got a stink. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. And God raised Lazarus up, and he revealed hope to you and to me. The point is we don't know all that this life is going to have. We don't know what we're going to encounter. But when it comes to the end of it, we're all going to face the same fate. We're all going to come to that point where we pass from this life into the next. And what is our hope at that point? Are we ready for it? Now, it was interesting. Another story was told about a lady that had received a terminal diagnosis, okay? I don't know, didn't go into details as to whether it was cancer or exactly what, but it was a terminal diagnosis. She was ill, and she was going to die. And I'm sure that she went out and she sought out the medical assistance that she could. She knocked on the doors of the doctors. She followed the regimens, took the treatments, and yet at the end of all that struggle, she came to the point that now she was terminally ill and going to die. And as they told her that, as they said to her that she was at the end of the road, okay, they asked the question, she started gathering people around her. She started gathering those around her to make sure everything was in order. She'd got her lawyers and made sure her will was done and got all her business affairs lined out. She got her kids together and she spoke to them and made sure everything was there. She called her pastor in and said, okay, this is what I want. I want this hymn and I want this read and this is what I'd like to have said at my funeral. And almost then as an afterthought, she says, oh, and pastor, one more thing. She says, when you bury me, when you put me in that casket, I want you to put a fork in my hand. A fork? A fork? Pastor's kind of, all right, I was with you on all this other stuff. He says, what do you mean you want a fork in your hand? And she looked at him. She says, you know, every church social I've been to and every time we go to somebody's house, at the end of the meal, when it's all done, they start cleaning up the dishes and then they say, oh, hang on to your fork. The best is yet to come. And she says, I want the world to know that I know the best is yet to come. Amen. 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 And that's the hope that we have. Guys, this world is full of pain and suffering, of illness, of disease, of hurt, of heartache, of loss, of misdirection. But we have hope in a Savior who has promised us the resurrection. Do you know that hope? Do you have a fork in your hand? Are you ready? Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we're so grateful that you have called us into this relationship with you. So grateful, God, that you've given us the opportunity to know you. I am thankful, Father, that for every one of us here, you foreknew us just as you foreknew Christ, and you've chosen us to be with you. And I thank you, God, that your desire is to have a fellowship with us. I thank you that you also made it possible, that you provided the means. You brought the forgiveness of our sins. You poured out your mercy and your grace upon us. And I pray, God, that for every one of us here, that we might simply receive that grace. I pray, God, that we might say yes to you and to receive the hope that you've offered us. In Christ's name, amen. I'm not going to do an invitation, but if you're here and you want to know more about that hope, then I ask that you stay and speak with me afterwards, okay? All right, we got a closing song for you, okay? Song to go home to.